live from our national studio here in Accra, in Bethlehem, with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com. We welcome you once again to Behind the News. Our news and current affairs program, where we'll be speaking about the issues from the perspective of the news leaders and also the experts. My name is Kingsley of Interest. For tonight, government declares readiness to engage organized labor to review the implementation of the single salary structure. How will this step resolve the myriad of agitations on the labor front with demand for outside payment of arrears in the face of payment of ex gratia? And how does this respond to the government's appeal to members to go back to the lecture hall? So we'll be picking on these issues from different perspectives and looking at what really placing Article 71 beneficiaries under Fair Wages and Salaries Commission arrangements will help the process. We'll also, in addition, be taking your comments and your questions on 0263-01-7882. But before we get to the stories and your comments, we have Junior. He's coming to you live from Accra. And if you are somewhere around Kwalimkanta and Adjis around Kufodia, you are getting us on Sunrise FM. And you are also live on Radio Savannah in Tamale. And that is where we want to go to first. The season of strikes is not yet over. It started with the teachers' unions and has now entered the ranks of the Ghana Medical Association just a day after the Government and Hospital Pharmacists Association, GOSPA, declared their strike. The doctors are demanding that government pays them in full the market premium for the year 2012 after the ruling by the National Labour Commission. So how has the strike by the doctors and the pharmacists affected healthcare delivery? We want to gauge the move with our correspondents in the various regions. And first, we have Mutala Issa joining us from Tamale. Hello, Mutala.
Hello, Kingsley.
Have you been able to find out anything about the impact of the strike so far?
Well, at the various hospitals in Tamale, I mean the teaching hospital, the central hospital, and then the Tamale West Hospital, doctors are on strike, pharmacists are on strike. And they are not admitting fresh cases, but they are attending the emergency cases as well as old cases that are already at the hospital.
Have you been speaking to the patients, possible outpatients?
Now, I just left the central hospital a while ago, and this evening they admitted two women. One of them told me she's not even aware that doctors are on strike. The pharmacy technicians, they are working, they are dispensing all right, but the main pharmacy, they have only one pharmacy at the hospital, and he, as at the time I got there, was not at post. I understand he's part of the striking medical personnel.
Yeah, but naturally, you'll be speaking to others. You never know when you fall sick at times. So what are they saying about the strike?
Well, the same woman who told me she's not aware of doctors going on strike was worried that just a while ago, doctors, according to her, she thought that we were talking about the previous strike that doctors had. And I said, no, that is a month back. And then teachers. So she was very worried and expressed concern that possibly with this strike, teachers might follow suit. So she's just appealing to doctors and stakeholders in the health delivery system to work hard and ensure that doctors come back to work.
Have you spotted any of the doctors around?
No, except for the Tamale West Hospital, where the medical superintendent was supposed. He was actually working. When I went to the Tamale Teaching Hospital, doctors were busy attending to patients. But at the central hospital, I could not spot any doctor.
Yeah. When you speak to the other residents in the area, are they talking about alternatives? Because already we've heard in Accra some alternatives being made.
Now, what we do have here in Tamale, we have the Seventh-day Adventist Church Hospital, SDA Hospital, which is sort of private hospital, but under the control of the Ministry of Health. They are working 24-7. All their doctors are post, and a source at the hospital told me today they've had an overwhelming number of people, unusual number of people attending the hospital, possibly because of the strike at the various, the three other hospitals we have in the Tamale metropolis.
So are they concerned that they are ready to take on extra patients because of the possibility of people getting to that place instead of going to the normal government hospitals?
I'm told they are ever hospital ready. This evening, as I got there, there were three patients who were they were attending to them, and the place actually looks empty. I understand earlier in the day there were huge numbers of people, and they said they are ever willing to work, and they've always been doing this anytime doctors are on site in the metropolis.
Look, I want to thank you very much, but we will keep monitoring the situation. When need be, we'll get back to you.
Thank you very much.
I'm loving regional. I'm correspondent. We were reaching him directly in Tamale, but now we want to go to the Upper East region. Felix Lambert is also on the line with us. Hello, Felix. I guess there is a bit of a challenge on the line to Felix. We'll quickly try to get back to Felix and for him to tell us what is happening in the Upper East region and Boga, to be very precise. You are still live on Behind the News. And if you are somewhere around the Upper East region, you are getting us on your radio. Now we have the clearance that Felix has rejoined us on the line. Felix, so sorry we lost you earlier. Where have you been visiting?
I've actually been to almost the hospital, 10 hospitals in the Upper East region. To be very honest, we do not have a lot of hospitals here as compared to other places. We have the regional hospital, that's the Bogatana regional hospital. And then some of the district hospitals across the region. And it's as usual, the problem is all the issues that we have taken over there. You can imagine a region which is one of the poorest in the country, where ignorance and then poverty is the order of the day, which is equal to disease. People come to patronize hospitals, and at the end of the day, they are not being saved. That is the problem that we are encountering so far here. But I've not been able to get in touch with any doctor, and then even through phone calls, they have not been able to do it. But what I know is I've heard from my reliable sources that measures have been put in place to make sure that there's also emergency issues that come. Just as in other places, they do not attend to new cases unless it's an emergency like GDPR, accident, and other things. You know, in this area, people use motorbikes a lot, so they have put measures in place to make sure that issues come and accidents and other things are being taken care of. Now, there is this new trend happening. In our past, we do believe in tradition, we believe in culture a lot. So what is happening is that people are resorting to traditional medicine, which is part and parcel of their smarting use of those types of stuff. So when you visit some traditional centers or places that you know that they treat people traditionally, you see a quite significant number of people personalizing those things. Secondly, we do have some private hospitals that are also making business out of the issue. You have a lot of people going there. Even though people are not aware that there is a strike going on. Anytime they come to the office and they are not being served, they are being informed by the nurses that this is what is happening. And so people who really believe and still have or hold our traditions are in sin, patronized traditional things, which sometimes might not be accurate or good because we all know what it takes when it comes to practicing disorders. It used to be good, but currently, we need the writing to be done. Some of their methods are not scientifically proven. So we are just hoping at the end of the day, something good will come. Government will lead to the request of these doctors, and then we'll be able to go back to work, and then everybody will be happy.
So did you have a sense of feeling that people were really aware doctors were laying down their stethoscopes and were not going to the hospitals?
Well, as I mentioned earlier on, a lot of people are not aware in most places that I visit, especially in the district hospital. And that is where illiteracy is very high. A lot of people are not aware. But when you come to places like the Bogatanga municipality itself, quite a number of people were aware that doctors were not on the back. As usual, some people had a feel that even if they are on strike, you know, they might be treating people undercover. And undercover in quotes, just, you know, trying to attend to people. But just worry or let the whole world know that they are on strike. But unfortunately, this time around, it's not working that way. You come and then you will not be safe.
Well, I want to thank you very much, but I know you'll still be on the beat, and we'll get back to you at the appropriate time. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Liz Lambert is our Upper East regional correspondent. Behind the news, you are still live on 22 Radio and also on Radio Central if you are somewhere around Cape Coast. And Kinsley Nanabwedu is standing by for us in Cape Coast. Kinsley, you are welcome.
Thank you very much, Kinsley.
I guess you've been moving around a lot.
Oh, yeah. I've been to some places. And I'm finding out what's happening.
And what has been happening?
Well, I must tell you that indeed doctors in the region are also on strike, and the pharmacists as well. But in the morning, it wasn't so clear because the patients, for instance, were not feeling it so much because they were not aware of what was really happening. And in the Metropolitan Hospital, for instance, and the International Regional Hospital, they have made provision for medical assistance and pharmacists. Sufficient assistance who are taking over in the morning. We were told that at the Metro Hospital, for instance, the doctor came actually because they, according to their strike action and what they have stated to do, they will be taking care of emergencies and inpatients. So they were in there in the morning to take care of such people, but 7 to 9, 10, all of them left the scene. So the situation was being handled by the medical assistance and sufficient assistance. And, most of the patients are not in the they can't even decipher or differentiate between the medical assistant and the physician assistant. So when you even ask them, all that they know is that doctors are being attended to them. But a central look at the situation indicates that all of them, the most of the doctors, are not around. They have also, they are vacated, they are deployed.
So we've been asking about this other question. Where are the potential patients going?
Well, where are the outpatients?
The potential patients, yes.
Well, as it is now, like I'm telling you, they are not feeling it yet, but you know, in the Metropolitan Hospital, for instance, they have a section where a herbal medicine is being including that section there, so probably they will be following on that. Some of them that we spoke to indicated that if they were going there, but if they get there and it shows up in that, they are not being taken care of, then definitely they have to find their ways elsewhere, maybe in a drugstore or whatever, to find some herbal or any drug from the capital. That is what is happening. But like I said, it is not being felt really today, because at the regional hospital, for instance, you know, it's a different hospital now.
Yeah.
So we have students doing their own attachment and all of that. So it wasn't really feeling. The people were not really feeling it. But I believe that from tomorrow, the impact will really be there. Because I spoke with the regional director of the health services of the intervention, Dr. Maya Asari, and I also spoke with the Metro director, and all of them told me that they are in a crowd. That's on phone. They told me they are in a crowd meeting their person. And they cannot tell me anything about the situation yet. Anybody that we spoke to at the hospital was not willing to also say anything about the intentions, whether they have accepted their food and have left the place for the medical assistant and the physician assistant who are taking over the hospital and going about the normal duties. So I suppose now the patient, their faith is just in their hands, looking for where to go, and probably they feel it more tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And we want to move straight to the eastern region. Kwame Onoma is standing by for us. Kwame, welcome to Behind the News.
Hello, Kinsley.
What has been happening at the Kofodia Central Hospital?
What's happening in the eastern region is not different from what has been reported by my colleagues from the various regions of the country. I left Aspire this morning to go and then see what was happening in the hospital because of the doctors in the strike action. And I saw many people there at the OP department. Some have been given their folders, but they could not see the doctor to contact for the real diagnostic exams and the type of medicines to prescribe. And I went back to see the pharmacy side also, and I saw the pharmacists also close their doors and the lumen saying that they have joined the doctors in the strike action. But when I went further to the administration and the doctors, to find out, I was told that they were having indoor meeting. So as at midday, they have not finished with the meeting, and the other people also who were there had to change their positions from there to different hospitals, which were responding to medical treatment, the patients, like the SDA hospital in Kofodia and St. Joseph hospitals, because they are Kwizaye hospitals. They are there. And apart from this, they were seeking to raise that they will respond to those who had already been admitted, because that man was under the account for this action, and the emergency cases also will be responded to as stated by the Ghana Medical Association. But those who are coming with fresh cases, like the OPD cases, that were no assessed, so that's what was happening in the Eastern Regional Hospital here in Koforidua.
You've mentioned two hospitals, not as the state hospitals. Have you been to other private local hospitals around or clinics to see the situation?
No, I couldn't go there, but this morning when I had interaction with some of the patients, some of them were saying that they were divert from there to other places. That's also because they lost their confidence. Some of the nurses were knowing the symptoms and then made mention of some drugs that they prefer to go to some chemical shops or drug stores or pharmacies to buy and then treat it on their own instead of going there for the proper diagnostic results, because the medical doctors are not available.
Yeah. Christine was telling us earlier that many people were not aware and the impact was not felt so much for Kudi. What about Koforidua? Are people so much aware about the strike and making alternative steps and knowing where to go?
Well, today I could see that it looks too new to some of them. We're saying that they had the news, but today the number of people who reported there for medical treatment was more than what is expected. But some, because they didn't meet their medical doctors, they left. And others also were coming there for medical review. They had already reported and coming there to see the department that has cropped up after coming there for the first treatment. And some also were just going there for prescribed medicines, but unfortunately the pharmacists were not there. Others also went to different places for lab examinations and other tests. But generally, the doctors were also adhering to what the association has said, so they couldn't go to their various consulting rooms to attend to the patients who were supposed to be given the medical treatment as expected. But only those who were on admission before this action were being given attention.
Well, Norma, thank you so much for your updates. That's on live on Behind the News. We just came back from Koforidua. Kwame Nonoma was on that line there as our correspondent. Behind the News, we are taking a break. We'll be back, but we are still asking that question. Will the effort to put Article 71 beneficiaries under the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, as the discussion has been proposed, really help solve the problem, or you think it is much deeper than that? Well, after public outcry over the amount paid to MPs as ex gratia in the wake of labor agitation, President Mahama has given the strongest indications that government is going to implement the Constitutional Review Commission's recommendation to bring Article 71 category of public servants onto the single spine salary structure. At the National Prayer and Thanksgiving Service, President Mahama again indicated that government is ready to engage organized labor to review the implementation of the single spine salary pay policy. So is the implementation of the Constitutional Review Commission recommendations going to resolve the myriad of agitation which has arisen because of the sums paid out to the MPs as ex gratia? We are expecting very soon to speak to Mahama Ayaarigah, the Minister of Information and Media Relations. But in the interim, we have joining us a labor consultant, and he will help us look at the issue deeply. You are welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. And greetings to your cherished listeners. Let me take opportunity to greet my people at Asante Mampong.
I know they've heard. They are getting you live on Garden City Radio. What do you make of the government's decision to at least put this recommendation into practice?
Which is to make sure that Article 71 of the holders will be under the single spine.
Mm-hmm.
In my personal view, we'll be compounding the woes of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. For me, it is okay to give members of parliament, you know, the ex gratia. It is, as we talk of ex gratia now, it is constitutional. When you read Article 71 and Article 114, which I would like to read to you, a person who has served as a member of parliament for a period of not less than 4 years shall be eligible on ceasing to be a member or on his death for a payment of such gratuity, which is the ex gratia, to him or his personal representative, blah, 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 blah. So it is constitutional. Now, the actual issues with Crime Registry Commission and the implementation of the single time pay policy, that is what we have to address, not simply amending the constitution to make sure that Article 71 office holders will be under single time. For example, what must be the qualification of a member of parliament? I hope you understand.
Yeah.
If you, the single spine is a 25 level structure, it's a vertical structure. Now, which basic education requirement are you listening to?
Yeah, well, I'm listening.
Educational requirement, are you going to use to grade a member of parliament? Which skills are you going to use to grade? And which experience are you going to use to grade? These are the three main things that is supposed to be harmonized. So it will be a very difficult exercise to do. Are you going to say that a member of parliament has a PhD and you should be paid better than a member of parliament who has a middle school leaving certificate? So it tends to reason that it's most likely to compound the problem. Now, the single spine structure policy has a structural problem. When I say it has a structure, it has a legal and structural problem somewhere along the line. That is what we need to address. What is happening in this country has motivational, dimension to it. We need to address that one. Apart from that, it has some institutional incapacity alongside with it. Let me just quickly go to the guidelines that the cabinet is supposed to bring. Ideally, I want to say that if we are realizing the provisions under Article 196 of our Constitution, it says that the Public Services Commission shall have such powers and exercise such supervisory, regulatory, and consultative functions as Parliament shall by law prescribe, including, and I want you to listeners to pay particular attention to, including as may be applicable, the supervision and regulation, entrance and promotion exams, and here it is. Recruitment and appointment into or promotions within the public services and establishment of standards and guidelines on the terms and conditions of employment in the public services. So, ordinarily, we should empower public services, public services commission to be doing all this. Now, when the politicians get into the field, it tells the workers that they can circumvent events.
This is a situation where they are looking at a recommendation of the constitutional review. So naturally, if it should be done, we are still trying to get the Minister of Information and Media Relations. He will be clarifying a few naughty points there. But if it should be done, is it not possible that it's the same Public Services Commission that will be charged with doing it? And also, we've heard so much about issues of job evaluation when we are talking about this single spine. Don't you think at a point they will be looking at it and trying to strike a balance?
I like the way you have put it, but it comes back to a defect. For example, if the foundation of a building is weak, whatever you put on it is likely to come down. And when I say it's weak, now when you go into the Labor Act proper, and by Labor Act, I'm referring to Act 651.
Yeah.
I'm coming to address the issues that you have raised. Under the duties of an employer, which is Section 9, and I want to read Section 9C and then B. It says that it is the duty of the employer includes the duty to pay the agreed remuneration at the time and place agreed on in the contract of employment for collective agreement as by custom without any deduction except blah, 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 blah. So when you come to E, it says that it is the duty of the employer to provide and ensure the operation of an adequate procedure for discipline of the workers. It is also the duty of the employer to keep open the channels of communication with the workers and protect the interests of the workers. At what point in time, under all these duties that have been enumerated, would the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission be able to accomplish? When you come to the right of an employer, you say that the right of the employer include the right to employ a worker, discipline, transfer, promote, and terminate. Now, what we have is that we have many channels of communication. Let me use Bankun, Fish and Shito as a typical example. What we have currently for a structure is that the worker, after being employed by the respective service, has to go and negotiate with another body sitting elsewhere, which is fair wages and salaries commission. And after that, you have to make sure that you are being paid. So you need the same union that to correspond with the Ministry of Finance. It makes the analogy a bit difficult. I'm saying the Kuh and Sheto because it's just like in games that you import your thinking. You have to cross the street to go and buy the fish elsewhere. But you have to cross N1 to go and get your paper elsewhere. It complicates matters. There's a need to make sure that for a legal frame or a structural frame, we have a one-stop shop where we will have a clear communication direction between the employer and the worker. That is when the National Labor Commission can function and function appropriately.
So it means you are looking at the whole process.
Please permit me to add this.
Yeah.
If you go to Section 29 of Act 737, which is the act that establishes fair wages and salary commission, that section makes provision for scrapping all the ability of any agency in Ghana in negotiating the terms and conditions of service for all public sector workers. But when you study the functions of fair wages clearly, it is more of a regulatory
body.
And oversight kind of body. But it has added implementation. So why don't we have a system whereby even if the workers are going to negotiate with the employer, then we will have fair wages as taking the employer. We'll have the Ministry of Finance on the same side of the employer. We will have Ministry of Employment and Labor Relations on the same side so that we establish a clear line of communication. But what we have is a bit conflicting.
Yeah. So you are saying that, please let me chip in this so that you can clarify it as you still develop your point. You are saying that the proposal as it stands now is in a difficult terrain. Is that it?
Yeah, the evidence we all have attests to the fact that if you erase what makes an employer, which is the ability to negotiate terms and conditions, if you take it away, definitely the employer has been reduced to a supervisor. So we have one of the best labor laws in Ghana, no doubt about it. But we are having challenges implementing it because while the labor law has an atmosphere of cooperation, we still have a mechanistic public service, you know, which is not responding to the new paradigm shift of cooperation and collaboration.
Yeah.
When you read the labor law and study it into greater detail, everything there is collaboration. Now, let me just give you a typical example of what we are not doing. For example, if we believe that human resource in this country is our most important resource, let's ask ourselves, have we committed the necessary effort in developing it? No. If you take National Labor Commission, for example, it is very central to resolving disputes in this country. The Labor Commission is only found in Accra. So way back in Tamale, if a GES worker has a grievance, not with pay, but with the kind of table he has in school, where is he going to go? Is he going to come down to Accra and hire a hotel?
You posed a big question that will still hold you on the line because you have joining us now, Gabriel Kwamai, who is a member of the Constitution Review Commission. He will try to clarify a few points and then we'll bring you in again. So please hold on. Don't go. Mr. Kwamai, thanks so much for your time and for joining us.
You are welcome.
Yes, yeah, what went into the Constitutional Review Commission's recommendation to bring those under Article 71 onto the single span salary structure?
Yeah, the issue that confronted the Constitutional Review Commission had to do with what we've all been talking about recently in this country, that is, in terms of equity and the remuneration that people receive who are working for government. The issue that was discussed was at the consultation. How are the remunerations of the Article 71 people related to the rest of on the government budget for salaries. Because when people are not clear how the remuneration is related to the rest of the population, then it leads to a lot of misunderstanding, it leads to a lot of agitation. So the Constitutional Review Commission, after taking submissions, decided that let us rationalize the salaries in the public sector. Let us have a way in which the public sector salaries rise from the president, the chief justice, relates to the messenger in the public service. So our idea was that, okay, already as a country we had established the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. The principle was to rationalize salaries in the public sector. So why don't we put the Article 71 people in the same organization? That is, the same body will work for the determine the salaries. We are not saying that the salaries of people who are going to be under Article 71 will be reduced or will be the same, but there should be a rationality in which how anybody is going to pay, the president is going to pay, it should be related to how the messenger is going to pay. And therefore, instead of having a committee which is as currently constituted in the Constitution, as currently provided in the Constitution, instead of having a committee which is normally regularly set up, now let us do away with that and then put on the committee's work should now be added to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission.
So it is not
the Constitutional Review Commission realized that there may be the need for a division of the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to deal with Article 71 people. But that should be done in such a way that whatever the criteria which is going to be used or which is being used by the committees that have been set up in the past, there's nothing wrong with the criteria being worked at the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission in such a way that there is a relationship between the salaries and the whole public sector. So this was the consideration.
Okay. So I was asking, it is not necessarily the fact that maybe what they are going to receive should be slashed, but so integrated into the normal process as we have it now, rationalizing everybody's salary. That is what you are saying.
Yeah, that was the thinking which came to inform the decision that the Constitutional Review came up with.
The concern coming up is that
it should be rationalized.
Yeah. There is this concern that they have a different rule of engagement altogether. Instead of some being appointed and going through the necessary processes, examinations, interviews and all, these ones get elected. So it's a different issue altogether. Maybe you were speaking from a coin of vantage. What did you see exactly that can be done that will make it very practical?
Yeah, we took submissions from a lot of people and also some salaries. We got professional advice, technical advice on all these issues before we came to our decision. And the thinking was that the remuneration based on election, based on contracts, it is applicable in other jurisdictions. And they've been able to work them out. In our own country, we have had experience of doing it, setting up those committees. So the principles that are used there's nothing wrong with having the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission to use those same principles or rationalize those principles in accordance with what is happening in the general public sector. The thing was, every year, every president comes and sets up the committee, the committee takes a decision and it is dissolved. Another president comes and sets up the committee and the committee takes a decision and it is dissolved. And then it kept on being repeated, and it was not clear to the general public what are the principles upon which public sector wages for presidents, ministers, and MPs was worked out. If we put it in the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, it will become clear that these are the principles, rather as a nation, we are all being seen from the same place as to how people are remunerated at that level. We are not disputing the fact that the principles upon which their salaries will be different. We rationalize and then related to the one that
are being in the general. Mr. Palmer, please come to you. Please hold on for a moment. You've heard the explanation as given. It may not necessarily be what we are expecting. Maybe a GBC staff being put on the scratch and knowing what to receive and all, if we have to go and even argue about a journalist and you know your premium, whether you should have one or not. in this case, what do you make of the explanation?
It's a laudable idea, but don't forget that from the point of view as a mediator and an ADR practitioner,
mm-hmm.
you are looking for a system whereby disputes will be minimized. What he has proposed is something that can easily be worked on, but not without a lot of dispute. For example, what we are now failing to do is that we have failed as a nation to educate ourselves enough. Public education has not been all that enough on the current pay regime. You see? And people are comparing. For example, we have medical officers who might compare themselves to university teachers. And then we have teachers who might compare themselves to nurses. It is because we don't have adequate information on education. For example, this is not the first time we are attempting as a nation to do that, to make sure that distortions and inequities are addressed. In 1967, we had a Mills Odoi committee. In 1973, we had Isifu Ali. I will come to the D1 quickly. And then from 1979 to 1983, we had Justice Azucraft Commission. And then 1992 to 1993, we had the Gampo Commission. We have also had a comprehensive 22-level Ghana Universal Salary Structure, don't forget, which was introduced in 1999. What it sought to achieve was that it was supposed to do what this new pay is supposed to do. But we failed because sections of the public services were not allowed to opt out. Were allowed to opt out without any sanction. We also failed because the central management board and the appellate body that were to manage the implementation were not backed by any legal instrument. Aside that, we were also not adequately resourced. Now, the inadequacy of resource comes into play, not necessarily a constitutional amendment, but inadequate resource has been our bane. And I was using the National Labour Commission, which is supposed to help us mediate, arbitrate, and to make sure that labor management cooperation is enhanced.
It's not decentralized.
You see, let me come quickly to the new policy. You know what? But the new policy also seeks to ensure that jobs within the same job value, you see, jobs within the same job range are not paid, are paid within the same range. That is what the inequities and the rest we are seeking to resolve. That jobs within the same job value are paid within the same range. So we have not educated our masses so well. It also seeks to minimize industrial tension. But what we have here is that the key ingredient of the single farm pay policy is not being realized, and we are not looking at that direction. It says that it seeks to link pay to productivity.
Okay. I'll come back to it.
Just the same.
That is one point we are developing. We'll come to it shortly. Please hold on.
If I may just wrap up on this. These are the principles. And the same constitution, the same constitution under Article 24, clause 1, says that we should receive equal pay for work of equal wage.
Yeah.
So when we begin to compare across sectors instead of within sectors, we will be harming ourselves and we will be opening ourselves up for more conflict.
We'll come to it. We'll look at it deeply very soon. But please hold on. So, Mr. Kwamai, so looking at the challenge identified, how do you still think, at least as members of the commission, you can advise the process, assuming government, as it is now promising, would like to go through with this process?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think the gentleman is making a very valid point. And I think that point was taken into account when the Constitution Review Commission was set. Now we have completed our work, we have submitted our report, and our recommendations are very clear on this. The issue is the constitutional provision on Article 71 provides for an arrangement whereby the committee is set up by the president under the Article 71.
Uh-huh.
Committee makes the recommendations for the wages, privileges, and then facilities of both the executive and the legislature, and then all other persons, including the judges, and then committee, some persons of commissions, and then corporations, board members. Now, when that is done, the difficulty and the education aspect that he's talking about is very, very important. The difficulty is people are not able to appreciate how those conclusions that are come through regarding the president, regarding the minister, regarding members of parliament are related to the other workers in the public sector. So our recommendation is to make sure that it is one body, one organization which is in charge of all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that same organization would now be the one responsible for saying that by the principles which are used in best practices in other jurisdictions for remunerating a president, we have concluded that the president should earn this much.
Mm-hmm.
Principles which are applicable to remunerating members of parliament in other jurisdictions and also our own conditions taken into account in Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we recommend. So then people now begin to realize that it is not as if they are being given special treatment.
Yeah.
And in my own assessment, the very recent agitation on the labor front,
mm-hmm.
we completely delayed from the fact that the people are feeling that, but if you are saying that there is, we don't have enough resources to pay our areas to do this, but how was it that resources were found to deal with the issues having to do with the executive, having to do with the legislature, having to do with those issues? And this is what the constitution of the constitution sought to prevent.
Mm-hmm.
That it is not a class set aside, but that they are part of the general public sector remuneration system, which way that it would be easier to educate people that, yes, all this has been rationalized within the same sector, and it's not as if they have been put in a special class, they are taken up in they are treated for in a special way,
okay,
which now fuels a kind of industrial
care.
But people say, if you can do this for this, then do this for us.
Okay.
So we are praying that the provisions are implemented, mm-hmm. and it is our hope that those recommendations that we make, if they are implemented, there should be a sense of understanding, a deeper appreciation. And then people become more cooperative when issues about salaries and the public sector wages are discussed.
We want to thank you so much, Mr. Gabriel Palmer, for your time tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're also a member of the Constitutional Review Commission and trying to explain the rationale behind their recommendation in terms of adding Article 71 beneficiaries to the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. He's talking about streamlining. You are still live on Behind the News, but we are so fortunate we have Mr. Benata, a labor consultant, still on the line. Mr. Benata, there is one issue that is coming up. You've mentioned issue of resources, and we've also learned that is to streamline the process. That is why that recommendation came. You've mentioned education. He's agreed that there's not been adequate education. Now you are talking about something that is also very important that do not necessarily come up, but you are identifying as can be used. Equal pay for equal work, not just across board, but within institutions.
That's right.
What exactly are you going for with this?
For example, when we say streamlining, it's a very good word to use. But what exactly do we seek to streamline? Whatever the case, we will not have a system whereby the medical doctor will be paid as a member of parliament or equal pay as a lecturer of a university, because the work will not be equal. Even if we decide to give all of them equal basic salary, everybody in Ghana, because we are under obligation under the Labour Act to match remuneration to productivity and performance, people might outperform others. And we will still not have that basic inequity that we want to address. What we have to stick to address is to be very open to everybody, for people to know that these are the systems. That is what it takes to arrive at your pay. And it should be very open and transparent. And we should be very consistent about that. When people know that, if I'm in the police service I want to charge another car. But let's seriously compare a chief inspector to a medical practitioner in terms of pay. It's neither here nor there, because, for example, a policeman is on duty 24 hours. Even if you are asleep, and I dare say that even if you are asleep by your wife, just at the whistle or a call, you have to wake up and dress and go. That is a different system altogether. But coming back to, if anybody asks me what two things can we do to resolve all the issues that we're having currently, the first one is to streamline communication. Now we have multiple directions of communication. We have multiple directions. The tragedy of negotiations is that after labor has negotiated or has been given an appointment letter, let me use the Ghana Medical Association for example. They have been given appointment letter from health service or public services. After that, they have to go to another body to go and negotiate for their conditions of contract. Now, if they are being indisciplined at the workplace, the employer's power has been taken away. So the employer is not in a very good place to discipline them, simply because the power to negotiate and to spell out terms of employment conditions is with somebody else. Now, the same labor has to follow up with the Ministry of Finance. So we have to streamline the direction of communication into a two-way direction, where the employer and all the others will be in one place, with the label the employer. Public Services Commission, Ministry of Employment and Labor Relations, and the rest, they all must come to the support of the employer. So pay wages, instead of being a regulatory exercising oversight responsibility and being an implementing agency as well, they have to give up one of its functions. And I propose that it has to be the implementing side, so that it becomes a body that must pay public services. For example, if you go to the private sector, when you are employed, the place that the finance expert in the
establishment,
the employment sector, they are just also with the employer. Uh-huh. It's not a different body sitting elsewhere. I hope you understand. So we have to do that. The next thing is to inline our lines of communication when it comes to our corporation. These two things, communication streamline, then we must make sure that the labor management corporation is enhanced in this country, because that is the quarter that will bring us economic development. The old mechanistic approach where a worker and an employer enter into competitive whatever. It's
neither
here nor there in these modern times.
Good. We've spoken at length. We've seen some of the challenges, even still inherent in what has been done so far, that is the migration so far. Do you think there is something that can be done within the next few months? Because we've been told it's for a period of 10 years that the rollout should be. But it appears that we are all anxious for it to happen within 2-3 years, and everything should be attained immediately.
Thank you. Let me just give you quickly about five issues that when labor organizations and the Fair Wages Commission met at a roundtable conference, they themselves brought up the pertinent issue. Each one has some issues, but what was common to them is that they all believe that there's inadequate resource for National Labour Commission. So what it means is that if we resource National Labour Commission very well, one of its functions is to promote cooperation, labour management cooperation, is to also help resolve disputes. What it means is that National Labour Commission can do that effectively. They themselves also agreed that there's also inadequate resources for Fair Wages and Salaries Commission. That McGraham will not be able to be confident to come out to say this, that they are also under-resourced. Do they have an ADR expert among them? Do they have labor expert among them? Do they have dispute resolution expert among them? So these are things we have to try and make sure that we have addressed. They also agree that there's lack of negotiation in good faith, and that is where I want to say that is the crux of the matter.
Okay.
I don't trust you. You also don't trust me. So when we are taking our entrenched position, that thing should cease.
Okay.
Because under the labor,
let me throw this. One of the points we have here is saying the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission members should be changed. Workers and institutions have lost confidence in the ability to handle their issue. It appears you are coming to this particular issue from what you've said.
is not addressed. It's the same story.
Okay.
What I am proposing is that we have to look at a system whereby the employer has been eroded
of
what makes an employer an employer.
Benata, we really must thank you very much. We are still looking at ways to make the industrial front very, very peaceful. So we'll certainly get back to you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Know, let me just make this last statement.
A quick one.
I want the governance institutions to know that what is happening is at the core of our economic development.
Uh-huh.
And that it calls for a national security concern.
Thank you very much. Very pregnant with meaning, but at the appropriate time, we'll get to it. Benata is a labor consultant. He's joined us over the period. But Seydou Alidou, Dr. Seydou Alidou, is also a lecturer in political science. Just touching a little bit on even the last statement, you are welcome and thanks so much for your time. How do you see it as a governance issue? And some are even saying, oh, government is throwing this issue in so that at least the people who say his government is being good, but they also still have their doubts. Do you share that sentiment?
I think to look at the current labor harvest, it has a lot of profit. And to be able to overcome those challenges, we need to address most of the cost.
Hello, Dr. Alidou. If you can please raise your voice a little, you are so faint on the line.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that if you look at the current labor crisis, which is going on, it has several forces. And to be able to overcome those challenges, we need to overcome those causes that the first thing is that most of the people, after listening to the last person who has commented, the labor expert, he has mentioned the fact that National Labor Commission is with this.
Dr. Seydou Alidou, I'm afraid we are not getting your line clear at all, but certainly, even because of our time, we'll make time again and look at the other outstanding issues. We are trying on the console, but it appears to be a bit challenging getting your point. But thanks so much still for agreeing to talk to us. Dr. Seydou Alidou, a lecturer in political science at the University of Ghana. You are still live on Behind the News, and some of your questions here before we go. This one from George Padinya. I think that if government has money to pay aggressors, then they should get money to pay market premiums for doctors and pharmacists so that they can return to their work. And this one, brilliant, a new EBBRC. Oh God, have mercy on the poor teachers. When will the ECD supervisors from the 2012 elections, the allowances? This issue keeps coming up, and I think we'll follow up for you. And from the UDS, why doctors should consider the plight of patients and call off their striking. And this one from Russell of Awushin. When I go to Enchi in the Western region, I listen to your program on Garden City Radio. Okay, thank you very much. You know, some of our radio stations cross boundaries from the regions. So Twin City is meant for Western region, but you can still get us on Garden City there. Thank you so much for still listening as you move. And this one says, indeed, the legislator has been given too much power, and this is the cause of the latest labor agitation. The aid gratia given to MPs must be looked at critically. And Emmanuel of Pande is saying, it's not that NGTV also on strike. They are off air for some days now in the water region. Please rectify the situation. Thank you so much for drawing our attention. Maybe it may be some pocket areas where you are. And this one says, bravo, leaders of the health service. This is what we were expecting the NAP leaders to emulate. Like Atipu of Adansi South District sent in that one. And Andrew Manga of Boko, will Ghanaians condemn the striking doctors as they did too with the teachers? And John from Congo, Kingsley, government should pay the doctors. It is time we tell people in authority that enough is enough. And from Nendo, Tamale, why should I work in Tamale, take my salary in Tamale, and cannot take my end of service benefits in Tamale? And Nicola Kombona of KNUSD, we are appealing to the government to listen to the striking doctors and settle their concerns amicably for them to go back to post. And Kingsley, I wish for students in Ghana who are writing their exams the best of every good thing they can have. John from Tongo is sending that one, and we also wish them well too. And Nendo Tamale, law, 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 why not implementation? Ghana does not need any new law. We have to say that we're trying to get Dr. Anthony Simmons of UTAG to also join us. We're not able to, and it was difficult getting the Minister of Information and Media Relations on the line. But this one, that came in an interesting one. Since the doctors can go on strike because they are very important, you, the media, should also go on strike and keep quiet over their action, and then accountant general should go on strike so that no one will be there to work on anybody's money, and UCG should remember to put off all the lies, and in case there is crime, please, the police should try to be on strike for a moment. God bless Ghana. And this is where we have to wrap it all up on Behind the News for today. Job at the controls for us, production team of Bright Agama, Christopher Seed and Philip Kofi, Eugenia Sumadisechi handled the summary for us, and my name is Kingsley Odentre.